in the last couple of days, or yesterday and a couple of weeks ago when we actually started this study on the light, we've been laying the foundation, so to speak, or some background material, understanding where we're coming from, what we believe, why we study the scriptures, and how we arrive at these beliefs. And now, with that understanding in mind, let's do two things. First, we want to review several related statements in Paul's epistles, which teach us about the catching up of the body of Christ. And the catching up is, well, the Bible doesn't mention the body of Christ or the catching up before Acts 9. In the whole Bible, it's not mentioned at all until after you get to Acts 9 and following. When, you know, at some point after Acts 8, Jesus Christ revealed it to Paul. It was a mystery, a hidden thing before that, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul is the only person to whom Christ revealed the body of Christ or the catching up of it. We'll explore the entire 66 books of the Bible with, you know, with the mind to look for overlooked information about it. Well, about what we know about the body of Christ and about the time of the catching up of the body of Christ in relation to the start of the 70th week of Daniel, especially regarding the light. And that's what the topic is, actually. We'll be talking about a lot of things, but in relation to the light. From having searched the scriptures, we found that Jesus Christ only gave the information about the body to his only apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. Paul wrote that information in his 13 epistles of Romans through Philemon that we have in our Bible today. This is the only place where the scriptures talk about the body of Christ, in those 13 epistles that Paul wrote. The body of Christ is unsearchable in the remainder of Scripture. The Bible. Likewise, Christ only revealed to Paul information about the beginning, characteristics, catching up of the body of Christ, and the gospel of our salvation. And only Paul wrote epistles about it. And only in his epistles of Romans through Philemon. So you may find verses that sound similar. But as you study them in their context, you find that they're not the same. And they're not about the same event in other parts of the scripture other than in Paul's writing. There is no other place in scripture that mentions the body of Christ. Israel is never said to be a body of any kind, and certainly not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is never said to be in Israel or part of Israel, or in Israel's promises, or inserted into Israel. Those things don't appear in Scripture. It's not a scriptural concept. The body of Christ, again, is unsearchable. Only Paul received information about the body of Christ. Search as much as you please. You cannot find the body of Christ in the rest of Scripture. It's just not there. Well, it's the same with the catching up of the body of Christ. It also is only in Paul's writings. You cannot find, well, you can find mention of the return of Christ to the earth, but Bible doctrine about catching up into the air of the body of Christ and our inheritance and hope and future of being in heaven, that's only in Paul's writings. That's much different from Israel's everlasting inheritance, hope, and future in the land, on earth. I hope you can see the big biblical difference there between the doctrines regarding those two events, the coming down or the going up. They're totally different. You can only find our future in Paul's writings. The body of Christ is unsearchable in the remainder of Scripture. Three times is the clincher. Likewise, Scripture is silent about the beginning and characteristics and catching up with the body of Christ as well as the gospel of our salvation, except in Paul's teachings. That's why people talk about Paul. Not that he's their God, just that he's the person, Jesus Christ, our God, chose to reveal this to us through that person. So we read what he said to find out what Jesus said. Christ only revealed those things to Paul. Only Paul wrote and taught about those things. Alright, we're not glorifying Paul. We're magnifying the office, yes. The office that God created in order for you and I to hear this good news. Paul was the one that Christ chose to fill that office through its entirety. Christ never called anyone but Paul the apostle of the Gentiles. He did so in about 9 places in the Bible. In fact, some people count up to 18 related places in the Bible that call Paul the apostle or teacher or one other word, a preacher of the Gentiles. So, well, let's look at a couple of them anyway. Look at Romans 11:13. Put that up there. We'll just read through that. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. And the next one that also talks of his duty toward us from God. Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So here we see Paul telling about the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life, according to Romans 6:23, and it's by the gospel, not by Israel anymore. This eternal life. Let me go back a verse. For us to see that. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So it's by the gospel, not by blessing Israel that it always had been until Israel fell and was cast away. And you can read that in Acts 7 through Acts 28. Acts 7, at the end of Acts 7, has one event, and at the end of Acts 28 has the other event, but there was a diminishing between the two during which Paul was saved and was sent with the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God that we believe today to be saved, that Christ died for your sins. Believe on him on that basis for salvation, for everlasting life. That's his offer. That if you believe that he died for your sins, they're died for. They're gone. They're forgiven. Like we said before, it started with in Acts 9 with the salvation of Paul. It started on the road to Damascus. God showed his grace. It was given first to Paul. And in 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 and 16, let me pull those up too. More than I thought, but more than we're getting by here. Y'all are hanging in there. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Everybody should accept it, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save the righteous. Whoops. Not the righteous. It had been the law keepers that he was with his kingdom to Israel and rule with a rod of iron. But this is different. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. Now that word chief doesn't mean the worst. It means that he's the first one in. He's the head of the line. He's the chief, the captain, the first one to come in that way. The word is proto, protos. And we get our word prototype from that, so that'll give you an idea of what the meaning is. Excuse me, just a minute. He says specifically that God made him a minister. That's a like a waiter, a server, someone that serves, a minister. A minister of what God had given to him. Christ made set up a pattern, saving Paul first in this matter. Paul, as you know, couldn't have been saved into Israel. He was a blasphemer. He had committed the unforgivable sin. But Jesus Christ took the punishment of that sin, that unforgivable sin, and paid the punishment when he died for our sin. And Paul was the first to be saved that way, the first to even find out of it. He didn't know about it at first. Ananias didn't know about it, so he baptized him, as was the practice. The position of minister is that of a server, is one serving tables. In effect, Paul is saying, may I serve to you the gift of salvation by the grace of God? May I dispense to you the gospel of salvation? I was made a minister, a dispenser. Paul was charged with serving to others what God had served to him, the gift of the grace of God. Paul was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to him. Other places in Scripture mention that God is a God of grace. You can find that early in Scripture and later on. He's also a God of holiness. Justice, a God of wrath also. Nevertheless, God has his timing. And he does things in an orderly way. God is not the author of confusion. Now, at this time, he's offering grace to believers first, before he later exercises his wrath on those that rebel and are rebellious, and unbelievers do not accept the free gift of salvation. They want to do it on their own or be what they think is extra good, as if they could be as good as God, which is a requirement. After God finishes offering grace to believers, at that time we find that it's good news that God's wrath carries out vengeance on those who have rejected his wrath. Rejected his grace. And God calls it good news. He calls it a gospel. And you can see that in Romans 14, verses 6 and 7. Let's take a look at that. Romans 6 and 7. What was that? I missed somewhere. Oh, there's the other verse. I never got to that one. That shows the pattern that Christ set up. It was in Paul first, for a pattern to them that should believe after him. And hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. But as far as the gospel, the good news, after we're all saved and in heaven from this dispensation of grace, then the wrath pours out, and it's good news. It's Jesus Christ said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And this is the coming due of that repaying. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, and it's everlasting, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now that's not talking about people now. That's after a weeding out, there are some changes that go on during the tribulation. Some are sheep nations, some are goat nations, but they're nations. Some have blessed Israel, and some have refused to bless Israel after the dispensation of grace, the grace of God that we're in, is over, and the body of Christ is taken to heaven. They're under the law again, and they're to bless Israel to get any kind of a standing at all with God. And those that don't, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. God receives glory from. You hear the phrase, God doesn't want you to be a doormat. Well, in some ways He does, but there'll come an end to that. And Jesus Christ took a lot, but there is an end to that taking a lot, too. And there is a time when His wrath is poured out on those that rebelled and did not take His gift of eternal life. So let's go back to the verses. Ephesians 3, 7 and 8. Let's go back to 3 here. We'll post that one again and then go into 8. Actually, we'll go all the way through 9 in a few minutes here. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. If you look in Acts 9:15, we see Ananias, shortly after Saul of Tarsus was saved, God told Ananias that he would, Paul, that he was sending him to, that Paul would eventually preach to Gentiles and to kings and to the children of Israel. But it would be in their certain order. Jesus did not call Peter to preach to the Gentiles. And people often bring up, yes, he did. He went to Cornelius. Cornelius is not the Gentiles. He was one Gentile in his household. Jesus sent Peter one time to go to one house, one Gentile, to clarify something and to use a key. However, Peter was not an apostle of the Gentiles. God never sent Peter to the Gentiles yet. I mean, there is a coming time, according to Matthew 10:23, when Christ comes back, that the 12 apostles and Israel will be sent as a kingdom of priests to all the nations. God sent Paul to the Gentiles. See that in the verse there. And the Lord said unto him, unto Ananias, Go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Well, just, if you have a cursory knowledge of the travels of Paul and his missions, that's not the order that they came in, that they went in. He went to Gentiles last. Kings were nearly last, toward the end of Acts. And he went first to the Jew first, as it says, and also to the Greek. So that's not in order, not meant to be in order. At least not the order of the time that he went to them. Paul was Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles. We saw that in Romans 11:13. So let's get back to verse 9 here. Can we read 9? Yeah, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. It was hid. So there you can tell that there's something different about this message. This message that saved Paul and that he was sent to dispense to us was hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. God had not previously revealed what He had hid, or would no longer be hid. There was a whole body of information that had been revealed, given to Israel, and written down. We call it the Old Testament. And Romans 9:4 says it pertains to Israel. Romans 3, verse 2, he tells us that the oracles of God were given to Israel. Romans 15:27 tells us the oracles of God are now for the benefit of the Gentiles too. But they're still not addressed to us. They were about Israel. But that's how we got our pure Bible preserved to us. Thank God for that. However, all that information, that prophecy from Genesis through Acts 8, that whole body of information was already given. It's the information in Genesis through parts of Acts. And you can find all that information still in Hebrews through Revelation. However, later on, after that was given, Paul was given by God. God gave him a whole body of information for us. It's called mystery. It had been hidden. It had been hidden in God. And it's in the Bible too now. It's mystery information, formerly secret, but now revealed. It's not prophetic. It's not in prophecy. It's not in the Old Testament or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. God revealed it to Paul for us. And only in Paul's sermons and epistles of Romans through Philemon do you find this information. So, this new body of mystery information is how the whole world gets to know about the salvation that God supplies to believers today. It's God's gift. He's the source of it. He's the winner of the one that procured it by sending his son to die on the cross. And he has the right to give you salvation, and he says he will if we believe on him who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, our sins, and raised again for our justification. But you find that in Paul's writings. The rest of the Bible is about Israel, not the body of Christ. It's about the earthly kingdom on earth. From this study, as we get into actually lesson one, this is today is mainly introduction to the whole series of studies, but we hope to find two things, and a third thing, hopefully. We want to see Israel's prophecies about Christ returning to reign on earth. Then we want to see the information revealed only to Paul about the body of Christ being caught up to the Lord in the air. And then we'll be looking for information in the rest of Scripture about the conditions during the absence of the body of Christ from earth. And then we'll hope to discover if we can learn anything from that about the conditions before or after the catching up of the body of Christ from earth. And what does the Bible say about the happenings right after the catching up of the body of Christ? That may tell us something. And we will look and see what the Bible actually says. So I'm done for today. Let's see if there are any questions, comments, objections. This is your time to ask questions about it, or we'll get into the next lesson.